present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sowell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You know, only the other day I was approached by a top television producer who asked me why we on this programme had so steadfastly spurned the garish, get-rich-quick world of television in favour of, as he saw it, the antiquated and obviously limited medium of the wireless. Now, to this man I have a clear message. I mislaid your telephone number on the bus. Please get in touch. On my left, Graham Gardner, Barry Cryer. On my right, Paul Merton and Willie Rushton. Listeners to the last programme may remember that our regular scorer Samantha has been accidentally signed by Brian Clough, who was said to be looking for some new talent up front. In her absence, please welcome back our very own Scandinavian tree trunk in trunks, the enchanting Sven. We'll start off, teams, with a round entitled Celebrity Misquotes. In this round, I'd like you please to come up with some remarks that famous people, alive or dead, would never have said. Graham, would you start, please?
Madonna. Hang on a minute, I'm just getting dressed.
Paul.
Cliff Richard. What do you mean you're pregnant?
You'd never have heard Long John Silver saying, I'll take the pear.
Willie.
This could be attributed to any member of the present cabinet. Now, this is a resignation issue.
You'd never hear Melvin Bragg say, tunes. Van Gogh. I want a Walkman for Christmas.
Oliver Reed, I'll just have the half, I think.
The Duke of Wellington at Waterloo, stuff this for a game of soldiers.
Ken Russell, sorry, love, that's a bit over the top. Eve to Adam, is there someone else? Ian Paisley.
Can you hear me at the back?
Any more?
Moses. Oh, they're free. I'll take 10.
I think it could do with a rewrite. Jeffrey Archer.
Okay, well, let's go on. Oh, good. It's time now for an exhilarating round entitled Pick Up Song. I've specially handpicked a number of discs from my personal gramophone library, which DJ Sven has kindly agreed to play on his sleek, matte black, high-fidelity sound system. However, at a completely random point, the sound will disappear. If on its return, teams, you're still within a couple of crotchets of the original, I shall be awarding points, and points mean prizes. What do points mean? This week's prize is the very latest in our single-celled Pets for Keen-Eyed Kids collection. It's this playful little amoeba. Complete with colourless protoplasm and contractile vacuole. Nucleus is not included. Okay, Graham, now, will you accompany ABBA with their Eurovision Song Contest winner, Waterloo?
Ah, one for Sven here.
Book up on the shelf, it's always repeating itself. Waterloo, I was defeated, you won the war. Ka-chung, 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 ka-chung. Waterloo, I promise to love you forevermore. Waterloo, couldn't escape if I wanted to. Waterloo, knowing that my fate is to be with you. Wah, 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 Waterloo.
Had a tune. I didn't realise.
Not bad for a start. Willie, your turn. How will you join Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke singing super?
Yes, a spoonful of sugar.
That word there. That yes.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad.
My father gave me nose a tweak and told me I was bad. But then my dad learned a word that saved me aching nose. The biggest one you've ever heard. This is how it goes. Oh!
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Oh! Very slow, these people.
The results are still coming in.
Paul, I'd like you please to accompany Gloria Gaynor with I Will Survive.
Good luck there.
There. Paul. Blimey, here we go.
Because I was afraid, I was petrified, thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd known for just one second you'd be back to bother me. All right, now go! Walk out the door! Because you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? Do you think I'd crumble? Do you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I.
Oh, thank God this isn't television.
I wouldn't be doing it if it was television.
Barry, will you please accompany yourself singing The Purple People Eater? Which, incidentally, I understand, was number one in Finland.
It was indeed. They gave away a car with each record.
Oh. Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. I commenced to shake it and I said, hoo-wee. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. She looked strange to me. One eye. Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
Well, I don't know who won that one, nor the Sven, so... Our next round is called Tag Wrestling. In it, each team is given the tagline to a story. I'll start one team telling a story to fit their punchline, and when I do this, a member of the opposing team should take up the story and make it fit their punchline, and so on and so on. Barry and Graham, your punchline is... And against all the odds, Macbeth was finally slain by a man not born of woman. Okay, have we got that?
Yeah.
William Paul, meanwhile, your punchline is, it was you all along, exclaimed Shaggy and Scooby to Mr. Jenkins, the old caretaker.
I've got a way of it, and all we've had been for you flipping kids, that's what he always just says, Scooby-Doo.
Okay, now, Graham...
It was you all along... Who?
Mr. Jenkins.
Mr. Jenkins? Oh, why?
The old, comma, the old caretaker, full stop.
The old... I haven't got any of that, yes. The old caretaker. Right. I've been taking this down at home.
What is it? It was...
Fried Shaggy and Scrooby. Scrooby, Scrooby.
Scooby.
Scrooby. Is there a time limit on them writing it down?
Graham, will you start...
Will you start the telling the story? All along, Mr. start Jenkins, what? The old caretaker, cried Shaggy and Scrooby. Oh, I've just won the game. Yeah.
Okay, let's play another with the same tagline. Graham, will you start telling the story now?
Oh, I've forgotten the rules now, huh? Right, it was a dark and stormy night. On the blasted heath, three witches danced around the cauldron. Out of the darkness came Macbeth, Thane of Cawdor, fresh from the slaughter of the caretakers.
Wait a minute, I've got a challenge here. This game, in fact, doesn't involve challenges, but...
I wasn't sure whether this game involved challenges or not, so I challenged to see if it did.
That's the way of finding out, if you don't mind my saying so.
OK, I'll accept that. Carry on.
As he had just come back from the old abandoned fairground that hadn't been used for the past 35 years, which was also on top of the old silver mine. Shaggy turned to Scooby and looked at him with eyes of love. They were a couple made for each other.
But elsewhere in the castle, the Thane, Macbeth, was speaking to his lady wife. And saying, I've just looked out of the window, and that forest is moving.
You're in the Thane, said Lady Macbeth. Meanwhile, two men from Scotland Yard, hello, 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 were interviewing Mr. Jenkins.
It's three men.
Mm. No, the second guy's got a double-barreled name.
Mr. Jenkins. Jenkins, the porter, who was busy doing knock-knock jokes. Knock-knock, who's there? Thane. Thane who? Thane is a brush.
That wood may not be moving towards the castle, said Macbeth, but that old caretaker's hut is. Quickly, men, fall upon it and kill whoever is within.
But they were too late. The caretaker had made his getaway on the roller coaster machine, and as he rode up and down and in and out on that mechanical track, he thought to himself, I wonder if I should go and confess to that dog and that man down there.
But then he thought, I'm enjoying this ride so much, I'll have another one. So let's leave him there and go back to the castle. Quite a while before... Oh,
who'd have thought the old man had so much blood in him, said the police surgeon. Looking down at the body of King Duncan, who used to be on Blue Peter. Is that Duncan King? I can't remember.
The police inspector, making polite conversation, said, by the way, do you know I'm not born to woman? And the man said, no, I didn't know that. He said, I... She said, be careful with that heavy mace. That's my husband behind you. You'll have his eye out.
Stop Finley's case and, books.
And the policeman said... Janet.
Suddenly, Mr. Jenkins burst into the room. He confronted the two of them and confessed everything.
Macbeth, meanwhile... By the flickering light of a torch, saw words written in blood upon the wall.
It said, it was you all along, Mr. Jenkins, the old caretaker.
That was fun. Now then, it's time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. During this series, we've already received a number of inquiries from listeners complaining that they're unable to follow the rules of the game. Apparently, they didn't play it as children like the rest of us. So, for the sole benefit of these people and at the risk of alienating the many listeners likely to feel patronized by such an exercise, I shall ask the teams to play a round during which they'll explain each move they make as they make it. So, if you've got a pen and paper handy, this is your chance to make notes. Willie, will you start us off, please?
Well, I learnt this game on Grandfather's knee, and he had a little poem, which is rather nice. He said, you're never far from Mornington Crescent if you head out west from Mount Pleasant. So that's what I shall do and start.
I think he's won, hasn't he? Didn't he say Mornington Crescent?
I won the last game. It works every time.
Let's do another one. Yes. Willie, carry on.
Right. Rosebery Avenue, for obvious reasons.
Ware Avenue?
Rosebery.
Rosebery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, if we double that on the diagonal, and it's not bank holiday rules, is it? So there's a choice there of Rickmansworth or... Rickmansworth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rickmansworth.
Yeah.
There are no oars in Rickmansworth. No. Well, there are, actually.
Well, bearing in mind
just
early...
One, she's probably dead now.
Yeah. Hasn't stopped her working.
You wouldn't go.
Carry on, Paul.
Well, bearing in mind early closing, it would have to be Melrose Mews.
That seems very fair to me.
Muse is always a blocking one, isn't it? Muse. You...
Yeah.
If you go back to... No, if you go back to...
Look, it's only a block, Barry.
Come yes, on. I know what I'm explaining, what I'm doing. That's what I was asked to do.
Make a bit of a meal out of it. I mean, it's... Everybody
I'm
gets
only
blocked.
Doing what we were asked to do. I'm trying to help the listeners. I mean, if you're going to get tetchy...
Never do anything for
order.
Us.
What? Order. What will people listening at home make of this?
A nice jumper or something like that?
Carry on, Barry.
All right, Rosebery Avenue, two back, Shaftesbury Avenue.
Oh.
Because it's I'm doing right. A parallel yeah, without right. Repeating it.
I hate defensive players, though. I've always been more on the attack.
Yeah.
An attack is when you go east, east, east.
Yeah.
That's the thing. East.
Yeah.
So, Whitechapel Road.
Ooh, lime, lovely.
The charge at Teddy Roosevelt at San Juan Hill.
Yeah. Aldwych.
What, after San Juan Hill?
A bit strong, isn't it?
Can you explain that, Graham?
No, I'm an instinctive player, Humphrey.
Okay, fair enough. Paul, carry on.
Well, no, I'm going to double back and go up on the pavement here because I think Winslow Court.
Quite right. Single yellows.
Yeah.
Winslow Court. There again. This is double blocking. We've had Mews and Court. So I will. I'm allowed one more avenue. So I will do.
What? Try a bit of instinct.
Northumberland Avenue.
Mornington Crescent.
Spirit message.
Ah. Ah. And you reach that how?
Will
it
doomed from the start?
Yeah, of all the avenues to pick.
If we could have that whole game slow motion replay. You'll see them walking into an ambush right from the very start. It was very funny, that.
Paul. Right, sir, I don't want any more letters or inquiries about that. Our next round, this is called PC Titles. It takes account of the current emphasis on political correctness, which has ensured we think twice before describing someone as bald, fat, short, or stupid. With this in mind, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some examples of well-known book, film, play, or television program titles that you feel might benefit from suitable alterations along these lines. Paul, let's start with you.
The Good, the Bad, and the Facially Challenged.
Okay.
You have to have a care, even with authors' names now, never mind books. It would have to be the Barchester Chronicles by Anthony Free Market Operator.
Willie, the dorsally exaggerated, vertically and horizontally challenged person of, but not necessarily mutually exclusive to, yet possibly in all likelihood pertaining to, Notre Dame. Or it's the Bardens.
Graham.
The differently clean dozen.
Shrunk the kids, cohabitee, I've size-wise altered our mutual offspring.
The old nursery rhyme, girls and boys declare your sexual orientation to play.
Poor cow. It's Margaret Thatcher.
Any more? OK, well, we've got to go
on. Same gender-oriented The Magic Dragon.
We'll go on to a round now, which is called Just a Minute, based, of course, on the anarchic Radio 4 programme today in Parliament. One team member should attempt to sing a song without repetition, deviation, hesitation or... repetition. A member of the opposing team may buzz to challenge, and if I uphold the challenger takes over. Lest it all appear too easy, teams, you're not permitted to repeat any words included in the title of the song. And I'll tell you now that you'll have to sing at the same time as Colin Sell is playing the piano. Challenge there from Graham.
I was just challenging to remind Paul that we can challenge in this round, right?
I'm sure he's very grateful. Paul?
I just acknowledge that.
OK.
I was just rather enjoying the new noise.
I'm not going to be left out.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, that wasn't the buzz at that time. I'm a little nervous.
Don't you love being in control? Right, the song is What Should We Do With the Drunken Sailor? Paul, will you start, please?
I'm going to bluff my way through this.
All right.
What shall we do with the drunken sailor? What shall we do with the drunken sailor? What shall we do with the drunken sailor? Lie in the morning. Hooray!
What is it now?
A challenge there from Barry, Graham, Willie and 10 members of the audience.
I didn't challenge. I thought it was the after-show party, actually.
Yeah, there was a bit of repetition in there.
If you look for it.
Challenge from Graham.
Deviation, by the sound of it.
OK, Graham, you can take up the song.
Where are we going from, Col?
Hooray, and up she rises.
Thank you.
Hooray, and up she rises. Yippee, and away she goes upwards. Huzzah, and lofting skywards. Her track she makes early in the morning. Put him in a leaky boat and make him bail her. That's a new one on me. Shove him in.
It's Norman Bailer, the well-known author with the head cold.
Shove him in a sieve-like vessel and force him to pour the water out with a bucket. Encase him in a colander-like a boat, really. And force him to empty the water with another not-quite-so-bucket-shaped object. Shortly before
challenge
lunch.
From Paul.
Oh, was there a slight hesitation there?
So I've penalised Graham for hesitating and you for hesitating and pressing the buzzer. He goes on to Barry now.
Whoopee, in the air the vessel elevates. Olay, the opposite of down. The boat ascends at Sparrow's Fart.
Challenge from Willie.
A rude word. Yeah. We've never had a rude word.
Nothing in the rules about rude
Sparrow
words.
Sparrow is perfectly acceptable. You're thinking of tit.
Most of the time, yes. You have to forgive an old man.
Right, Willie, you can take the song up.
Whoopee!
Challenge from Graham.
Another rude word from Humph.
What was that?
Willie.
Carry on, Rushton.
I should tell you what Graham means in our house. Usually when Anne Diamond's on...
What?
What? Early in the morning. Her career is ended before I got up.
I think I'm going to give that one to Willie there. It's almost time we went home, but not quite. There's just time for a round of limericks. I shall furnish you teams with some fecund first lines, and I'd like you to complete them. First one coming up now for you, Willie Rushton. A romantic named Percy Bysshe Shelley.
A romantic named Percy Bysshe Shelley said this of Liza Minnelli.
While one of her breasts...
is admired by my guests.
The other one looks like George Melly.
Oh, dear.
Barry, here's a first line for you. I'm depressed, said the laureate Ted Hughes.
40 years on the throne. Where's the muse?
Then, inspired, he wrote...
of a three-legged stoat.
Disemboweling dead kangaroos.
Ted. Can't miss the Ted Hughes joke.
You'll notice that Barry played the blocker there. Paul, an exciting young poet named Keats.
An exciting young poet named Keats... was renowned for his daredevil feats.
He'd dance and he'd sing.
Then belch, God Save the King.
He was very well paid for repeats.
And finally, Graham, a first line for you. At a seance with W.B. Yeats...
he had asked along several blind dates.
The table was rising.
It's hardly surprising.
He cracked open a packet of mates.
Well, that's definitely it for now. Until next week, when we'll be in Chichester. So from all of us, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Paul Merton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sowell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.